Today's daf is Vachem Daf Tzadi Hey. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. And this Mishnah is going to talk about how you do the kibbutz or the shavira of a kli cheres or the mariku shtifa of a kli nechoshes if the beger or the kli cheres or the kli nechoshes left the azara, and particularly not only did it leave the azara, it became tamei outside of the azara, because we learned in the last Mishnah that all of these things have to be done dafka in the makom kadosh. Makom kadosh is code word for azara. Well, if they're tamei, they're not allowed to be brought into the azara. So what happens if they require these things? They're taken out of the azara, they become tamei outside of the azara. Now what do you do? So that's going to be the topic of the Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if you're korea ubeged, in order to be metayer it, how can you still fulfill the kibbutz on it? Meaning, the eitz of the Mishnah is going to give is to break it to the point that it becomes tahar and then bring it back in to do the kibbutz. But how can you fulfill the mitzvah of kibbutz on it if it's no longer a beged? And the same question by breaking a kli cheres and a kli nechoshes, if it's no longer a kli, then how can you fulfill mariku shtif on it? How can you fulfill shavira on it? Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Aleph, how do we do kibbutz on a mi'il shel kohen gadol that became tamei outside of the azara? Meaning, we're not going to have the option of tearing it, because there is a pasuk in the Torah that says lo yikareya, that you're not allowed to tear a mi'il of a kohen gadol. So what are we going to do if a mi'il of a kohen gadol becomes tamei outside of the azara? Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to raise the question of how we can do kibbutz in the azara if the kibbutz requires what we call the zayin samemun, the seven detergents. Detergents are not the kinds of things you would find in a supermarket today. The detergents we're talking about include meraglayim, and we know, because we say every single day, in machnis meraglayim the mikdash mea kavod, that you're not allowed to bring meraglayim into the mikdash. So how in the world would you wash things with the seven detergents if one of those detergents is meraglayim? Then the Mishnah Amud Beis is going to talk about which kelim require mariku shtifa, and the Gemara is going to talk about whether you need mariku shtifa when there is bishul but no blia, and that, you know, what if there's no absorption of tam in, let's say, the oven that you cook, but there was cooking done in there of kachim? Would you still need mariku shtifa? And that's going to lead to a discussion in general about kashering ovens, and that will take us to the end of the daf. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. So just a little bit of background before we actually start reading the words of the Mishnah. Some background to the entire sugya. A kli is only tamei if the kli remains shalem. Once a kli is broken and it's no longer usable, it loses its tumah status and it becomes tahar. And how broken does it have to be? Broken to the point where people can't use it the way they used to use it. In the sugya Masechta Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Hey, the Gemara outlines five levels of Shvira, five levels of brokenness. There's the tiniest little nekev where it would be motzi mashke, that if the kli were full of water, you'd have a drip of water coming out of the kli, but not big enough to be machnis mashke, that if you put the kli in a tub of water, water wouldn't get through that hole on the other side. I guess the weight of the water from the inside contributes to its ability to escape that kli. So such a nekev, such a nekev is not mitar the kli mitumaso. That kli is still considered to be perfectly usable, and the kli would still be, if the kli was tummy before, developing such a nekev would not be mitami. Then you have a slightly larger nekev where it's not only ke motzi mashke, it's ke konis mashke, that it could absorb a liquid into it through that hole. Such a nekev is mitar kli cheres that's meant to be used with mashkim. Meaning, if your kli is a water bottle and water not only can escape from it, but it can go into it, that's a large enough hole that it will ruin the kli, and therefore it is no longer tamei if it was tamei before. A third level is kishoresh katan, the thickness, a hole, the thickness of a small root, and that has ramifications in halacha outside of tumentara, the Gemara talks about, but that's a third level. A fourth level is a neck of the size of a zayis. That's metara klicheres, even if it's meant to hold solid foods, unless you decide from here on in you're going to use this kli to hold rimonim, to hold larger fruits. Then the fact that there's a hole in it that's a kazayas doesn't really affect you very much. The kli is still going to be usable. Then a fifth level is a nekev krimon, where even pomegranates would start falling out of it. So that's mitar the kli entirely. So again, that's one halacha. One halacha is that a kli becomes tahar when it breaks. Halacha number two, a beged can only be makabel tumas maga if it has a shear of shalosh al shalosh its ba'os, etzba'os, the thickness of a thumb, shalosh al shalosh its ba'os, the Mishnah in the 27th paragraph of Maseches Kelim. And if it's mekabel tuma, when it had that shear, and then you tore it to the point where each broken, torn piece is less than shalosh al shalosh its ba'os, it similarly loses its tuma, just like a kli loses its tuma when it breaks. And even if you don't tear the beged end to end, but you only tear the beged on one side to the point that it's majority torn and the other side remains slightly connected, that's considered as if it's torn end to end. That would be enough to be mitar the beged. So those are the three halachos that are important to know in order to understand the upcoming sugya. So says the Mishnah, beged sheyatzo chutz l'klayim. If let's say you have a beged that had dam chatos that splashed on it, so it requires kibus, and now it left the klayim. When we use the term klayim, there were no klayim in the Mikdash, that was in the Mishkan, but since, you know, the Torah was given, we had a Mishkan, not a Mikdash, so we talk in terms of a Mishkan, but it means it leaves the Azara. So Nichlas, so bring it right back into the Azara, because you have to do the Kibbutz in the Azara. U'mechabso b'makom kadosh, and you could be mechabisit in the makom kadosh. We use the term makom kadosh, even though it really means Azara, because that's the term the Torah uses. V'asheyiza midama ala beged, v'asheyiza aleh, tichaves b'makom kadosh, is what the Torah says. So we say b'makom kadosh, but it means in the Azara. What if it's a little more complicated, nitma chutz l'kayim, not only left the Azara, became tamei outside of the Azara, so you can't bring it into the Azara, you're not allowed to bring something tamei into the Azara. So how does one fulfill the mitzvah of kibus? Koro nichnas u'mechabso b'machom kadosh, you tear it so that it becomes tar first by tearing it, and then you bring it in and you're mechabis b'makom kadosh. A number of the achronim ask, why don't we just say bring it to the mikveh outside and be metired that way, and then bring it in? Meaning, if there's a way to be metired, a beged goes to the mikveh. We're not used to thinking of begadim as the kind of thing that goes to a mikveh, but that's what they used to do all the time. The Mishnah Maseches Beitzah talks about a woman who wants to be mesakin her begadim on yantif, but you can't do tikkun mana, so she wears her begadim and goes into the mikveh like that. Yeah, they used to tovel begadim because they used to have to worry about Tumah V'Tahara. So why can't you just do that? So that's a kasha the Achronim asked. The interesting approach that I saw is from the Chaznish. They say the Chaznish says that the reason you can't do the tevila, you know, when it's outside of the Azara, is because tevila and kibus are viewed to be part of the same tara process. It's almost like tovel v'sheretz biado, you're doing a tevila, but the kibus is like a form of tumah, which is somewhat of a chiddush, because kibus is just a halacha that when there's dam chatos on it, it requires kibus. Not kibbutz metum aso, but that's what he suggests. That maybe it's some sort of form of tuma that requires kibbutz. It's a great chiddush also in light of what we said yesterday, that you only need kibbutz on the makam of the dam, as opposed to tevila has to engulf the entire beged. Okay, but that's a kasha the achronim ask. They each have their own way of dealing with that kasha. The Mishnah goes on: if you have a kli cheres sheyatzuchutz l'klayim, a kli cheres that went outside of the azara, nichnas, bring it back into the azara, v'shavro, and do the shvira of the kli cheres there, b'makom kadosh, nit machutz l'klayim. But if it didn't only leave the azara, but it became tamei outside of the azara, no kva v'nichnas v'shavro b'makom kadosh. So then put a hole in it when it's outside of the azara, and then bring it, and that will be mitaherit, and then you can bring it back into the azara. How big should the hole be? However big it needs to be in order to take away its tumah status, which depends on what type of kli it is. And then you'll be shover b'makom kadosh. Kli nechoshes sheyatzo chutz l'klayim. If it's kli nechoshes, it normally requires mariku shtifa, but it left the azara, nichnas, bring it into the azara, umarko v'shalfo b'makom kadosh, and do the mariku shtifa in the azara. But nitma chutz l'klayim, if it became tamei outside of the azara, so now what do you do? Pochso v'nichnas umarko v'shalfo b'makom kadosh. So again, you break it to the point where it becomes tar, and then you bring it back in and you do the mariku shtifa in the makom kadosh. So says the Gemara, Maskevla Ravina, Koro Beged Amar Achmana Velo Begedhu. Well, wait a second, how is tearing it okay? Shouldn't that be a problem? Because after all, the Torah says Beged, that the din of kibbutz has to be done on that which is called the Beged. Once you've torn it, it's no longer a Beged. So how can you be Mekayim kibbutz on it? No, the Meshayer Beit Kedei Ma'aforas. You don't tear the Beged completely from one end to the other. You tear only one side, most of its length, or most of its width, and you leave it attached enough that it's that's a sheer ma'aforis, that's a size of a handkerchief or something, which is a chashva shir, that would be enough that it would still be called a beged, and it would be rightly to do the mitzvah of kibbutz with it. So some of the achronim explained, the Mayim Kedoshim explained that Ravina knew that there has to be a chilik between what's called a shame beged with regard to tumah and what's called a shame beged with regard to kibbutz. Why? Because yesterday we had the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that even that which is not called a beged as far as tumah is concerned, because it still requires some more malacha, you still want to be mitzayerit, you still want, but it is called a beged according to Rabbi Yehuda as far as kibbutz is concerned. So we see what's called a beged for kibbutz is not the same exact geder as what's called a beged for tumah. So that's why the Gemara can come up with such an answer, the mishayir be ma'foris. So it's no longer a beged as far as tumah is concerned, but it still is enough of a beged that as far as kibbutz is concerned. Frankly, Gemara eini v'amar avuna loshna elush shaloshir ba kidei ma'foris shaloshir kidei ma'foris chibur avi. But then we learn that if you are mishayir kidei ma'foris, that's considered a chibur. So meaning it's still a beged even with regard to tumah. And so Gemara midrabanu, it's only a beged with regard to tumah on a Durabanan level. The chum were choshesh that if we're metar a beged, if you have a little bit of it attached at the end, then you're not going to be korea the majority of the beged. But on a daraisa level, once you tear the majority of the beged minat Torah, it's no longer tame. Whereas as far as kibbutz is concerned, it still has a shame beged. So since this is only a din Durabanan, and the Rabbanan realized that the only way to be able to fulfill the mitzvah daraisa of kibbutz is to withdraw that din midrabanan, or to suspend that din midrabanan for that moment, so they're willing to suspend that din midrabanan in order that you should be able to do the mitzvah of kibbutz. That's how Rashi writes in the top Rashi over here. Yeah, Chorim raised the question that, wait, so what we're saying is that the mitzvah of kibbutz is docha an iser of bringing tumah derabanan into the mikdash, right? Tumah derabanan, because when the beged is still tamei on a derabanan level, so by a kli cheres that becomes tamei, There's no the iser, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Kuf Dalet, the iser of being machnis a kli cheres that's tamei into the mikdash is only in a sit derabanan to begin with. So the kli cheres becomes tamei, we have to break it, just forego that iser derabanan and bring it into the mikdash and do whatever, you know, and then break it there, because that's what you have to do in order to fulfill the mitzvah that you're supposed to do with it. So the Sefer Chemdas Daniel suggests that there's a chilik between the chamer only matir to be machnis, it's something that's tummy into the mikdash, where the tumah itself is only a tumah midrabanan, not where the iser hachnosa is an iser drabanan. So over here, the beged on a doris level, this beged as a chefza is tamer. Midrabanan, we call it tamei. You treat it as if it's tamei. When you're dealing with the klicheres, it's tamei. The klicheres is tamei. It's just that the iser to bring it into the azara is only an iser midrabanan. So only such as one type of iser drabanan, not the other type of iser drabanan, are they willing to sacrifice. So klicheres sheyatzis. So then the Mishnah mentioned that if a klicheres goes out of the azara, it becomes tamei there. So you break it outside of the azara. You mean you put a hole in it outside of the azara. Then you bring it into the azara and you break it entirely b'makom kadosh. Why? Kli amarachmana and lo klihu. It's not a kli anymore once v'lo klihu. It's not a kli once it has a hole in it. Shenikav b'shoresh katan. So the Gemara is asking Kasha, wait, the mitzvah of shvira that you have to do on a kli cheres is on a kli cheres. If you already put a hole in it, it's no longer a kli. So how can you say that that you're fulfilling the mitzvah to break it? So Gemara answers, shenikav b'shoresh katan. The hole you put in it outside of the azara is only the size of a shoresh katan, which is not enough to be mitayarit. So you're still allowed to bring it into the azara. But as far as the mitzvah of shvira, which is enough to be mitayarit, but it's not enough to take away the shame kli as far as the mitzvah of shvira is concerned. That's at least Tosis Girsa, Bishoresh Katan. That's the Girsa that we have here. Tosis, however, raises the following kasha, that the shear that you're metar klicheres mitamaso is not the shear of a shoresh katan. It's a shear of, as we said before, konis mashkin. Meaning, if you're dealing with a kli that holds liquids, the shear that would be metahirit is the amount that could, that liquid could get through. If it's a kli that's miuchal the mashkin, and if it's a kli that's miuchal the ochlin, also not the size of a shoresh katan. The shear would be kezayis, unless you plan on using it for something larger, in which case the shear would be even larger, like a remote. But it's not shorish katan. When we went through that list before of the five levels of holes of kelim, we sort of ran through the shorish katan one because there's no din in tumen tahara that actually relates to the size of shorish katan. So Tosa says that you have to say bedochak, that since the kli cheres that we're talking about over here is miyuchad for ochlin and mashkin at the same time, because they would cook the basar chatos with the rotav, with the sauce. So there is this in-between shear, between the shear of ochlin and mashkin. Not so mistabri. You would have thought that go with the more chamer one. If it has to hold mashkin, so if it no longer can hold mashkin, so then it's it's broken as far as mashkin is concerned. But he says, no, since it holds ochlin and mashkin, it has this in-between shear, which is shorish katan. That is the what Tosos suggests. Tosos also raises the question that the Mishnah says that Taras Kedera is with a hole that's the size of the Mishnah Kalin, a hole that's the size of a kezayis. So Tosos suggests that Minatora the shear to be metaret is shorish katan. It's only midrabanan that we say that you need to make a bigger hole in order to be metaret, and that's a shear of a kezayis, which is also a great chiddush to suggest that that whole Mishnah was only talking on a drabanan level. Okay, vayter the Gemara klei nechoshes. We said if a klei nechoshes leaves the azara and becomes tamei pochsa, so you have to break it outside and then bring it in and do the marika ushtifa. So Gemara says, wait, how can you say that you make a hole in the kli, a large hole in the kli, and then you'll do the mariko shtifa? Kli Amar Rachman, you're supposed to do the mariko shtifa on a kli. Same kasha we asked on the other two, on the beged and on the kli cheres. V'halav kliu, and this is not a kli if it's already broken. No, the ratziv martziv. What does that mean? So ratziv martziv means you bang with a hammer around the walls of the kli until it closes up the hole and the kli becomes shalem again. And now you could do mariko shtifa with it. That's how Rashi understands. The Rambam also seems to understand that way. However, Tosos asks on that explanation, then why does the Gemara not say the same thing by a beged? Meaning, if the Eitzah is break it, bring it in, fix it, and then do the mitzvah of, kvisa, or, of kibbutz, of shvira, of mariko shtifa. Why not just say patch up the beged? Why do we have to say that? Especially when you consider that the Gemara's eitzah by a beged involved allowing us to violate a nisr d'rabanan of bringing tumah mid'rabanan into the azara. So we're willing to make halachic sacrifices. Why are we willing to do that? Just fix it when you bring it back in, and it will be a new shame kli, and everything will be fine. So Tos says no. When the Gemara says d'ratzav le'matzav, it doesn't mean that you fix it. It's defining what you do when you are poches it. Poches it does not mean to make a hole in the kli in this context. Tos says it means to hammer it out to the point where you turn it inside out. So it is now a new shame kli. So you didn't break it to be metired. It's still a kli, but it no longer retains its old tumah because it's not the same kli it was. It used to go this way, and now you've sort of turned it inside out. That's what the Ratzav Martzav means, according to Tosos. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Reish Lakish, Mi'il Shenitma. Let's say the Mi'il of the Kohen Gadol has some dam chatos that splatters on it, and the Mi'il leaves the Azara, and now it becomes tami. So you can't tear it like you do other begadim. So Machnisa B'pachs Mishol Shosholosh Mechapso. If there's dam in the beged, on a part of the beged that's larger than 3x3 etzbos, take 3x3 etzbos of the beged at a time and bring it right by the edge of the azara and be mechabes it there. Then take the part that you just washed, put it back outside of the azara, 3x3 etzbos, and wash it less than 3x3 etzbos at a time until you wash off all the dam. Mishum shnemar lo yikareya. Tearing it is not an option. Pasuk says lo yikareya. Well, if you're allowed to bring it less than 3x3 at a time, the Achronim raised the question, if that's not an issur of bringing Tumah into the Mikdash, why can't we do the same thing by a Beged Chulin? By a Beged Chulin, you say, just tear the whole thing. Why don't you just bring it in less than 3x3 at a time? So the Marchesha, so the Chag Nasan suggests that the Chum were afraid that you might accidentally bring more than 3x3 in at a time. By a Beged Kodesh, there's no other option. You can't tear it. By the Me'il, there's no other option. You can't tear it. But by these other, by a Beged Chulin, you do have the other option. But wait, even by the Beged Chulin, he said it's still Tamei Midrabanan. So if it's still Tamei Midrabanan, and we're going to anyway be matir that is Sidrabanan of bringing the Tamei Beged Chulin into the Azara, why not at least try the bringing in less than 3x3 at a time? And that way you won't have to violate the Isser. So the Achronim raised that kasha as well. So they suggest that maybe the idea that 3x3 of a beged can be brought in, and it's not called that you brought the entire beged in, maybe that's dafka din ben mi'il, maybe that's dafka din by a beged kodesh, maybe by a beged chulin it has different rules of what's called hachnasa. You have to figure out why that should be the case, but maybe that's such a thing because of the chashivus of the mi'il or something, that it has to have different rules. Okay, most of Ravad Barava, so Ravad Barava says, wait, is the shear of tumah by a mi'il, which is a thick beged, where every strand of the mi'il, you know, you learn the halachos of how they make the big dekuna, every strand was 12 threads woven together. So this makes for quite a thick baguette, right? So ha'avin, v'harakin, ain't that mishum shalosh shalosh. The whole din of shalosh 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 being a shear is because shalosh shalosh is rotwi for some sort of tashmish, a handkerchief or something. But if it's a super flimsy baguette, then it's not good, it's not going to be usable. And if it's a super thick baguette, it's not going to be usable. So shalosh shalosh shouldn't work for the meal. The meal is super thick. Every strand is 12 threads. So agav avi el chashivi. So the Gemara explains that a thick beged, a sheer shalosh shalosh shesbaos, when it's on its own, has no chashivus and it's not mekabel tumah. But over here, it's not that the whole beged is shalosh shalosh. It's part of a larger beged, and as part of a larger beged, it can have chashivus in its own right because it's still part of a larger whole. There is a discussion. What did I see over here? There is a discussion. The Rambam writes in Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, that someone who destroys even even achas min ahechol or from the Azara gets malchus. You're not allowed to destroy makomos hakadosh mismiz bechosin titatzun lo sasun kein Hashem elokeichem. You know, there used to be a thing when we first got back the Kotel in 1967. We got back access to the Kotel. That some people used to come with little chisels, and they would hammer off a piece of the Kotel. It's a great keepsake to bring home. That's a violation, obviously, of Nisidar Reisa. You're not allowed to destroy Mekomos HaKadosh and Losasim Kein Lashem Elokechem. The Beis Yosef says in the name of the Mordechai that a Beis HaKnesses is called a Mikdash Ma'at. Well, that the Gemara Megillah says, but he says part of the Beis HaKnesses being a Mikdash Ma'at is that you're not allowed to destroy little pieces of the Beis HaKnesses either. The same Isra of Losasim Kein Lashem Elokechem, unless you're being Sosa Amunas Livnos. So says the Taz that when the Ramah says that if you're being Sosa, the Ramah's the one that adds that if you're being Sosa Amunas Livnos, it's okay. So says the Taz when the Ramah says that if you're being Sosa Amunas Livnos, it's okay. That's only if you rebuild what you destroyed. But if you're Sosa and you don't plan to rebuild that which you are being Sosa, even if it is for some sort of tzorech of the Beis HaKnesses, that you are being Sosa, but you're not going to rebuild what you're being Sosa, that's no good. So for example, the Taz talks about, they used to make like a hole in the wall, and then they would attach a shtender into that hole in the wall. But they would never actually repair the hole, they would just stuff it with a shtender, and allow that shtender to like protrude from the wall. So it is for the tikkun of the Beis HaKnesses, but you never actually fixed the hole that you made. Says the Taz, Usher, that you're only allowed to do it if it's Almanas Libnos, the Beis HaKnesses itself. The Eliyahu Rabbah totally disagrees with the Taz Mishuv Rapasim, like the Eliyahu Rabbah. He says, no, it's for the Tzorech of the Beis HaKnesses. So, of course, that's going to be Mutter. So the Avnei Nezer talks about destroying Beis HaKnesses, the Tzorech Mitzvah. He says that it's Mutter based on Losasun, is only when you're doing it Derech Hashchasa. And he says the Makar of the Rambam is our sugya, that a Mi'il, Shenitzus of Dam Chatas, you have to be Mechabis in the Azara. If it became Tame outside where you can't bring it into the Azara because of its Tumah, and you can't tear it because then that would be the only way to fix it of its Tumah, and why can't you tear it? So what does it say? Lo Yikareya, that's why you can't tear it. What do you need to tell me Lo Yikareya? It should say you can't tear it because it's a davar kadosh. You're not allowed to tear a davar kadosh. No, but it's only by the mi'il that it says liyikrei. It says the Avnei Nezer. That's why the Gemara didn't give any other beged. None of the other big dekun are mentioned as something that's kadosh that's going to have this problem that you have to bring in 3x3 etzbos at a time. Because it's only by the mi'il that we have gzeres hakasav liyikrei. The general isra of losasim ken lashem elokechem, it would not be a problem when it's for a toelas. So if you're tearing any other holy peged outside, in order to bring it in order to do the mitzvah, that would not be a problem. This is a discussion in the Chubas Mishnas Yosef. I suggest that they had a shul, and they built a beautiful shul somewhere, and the problem was they forgot to put air conditioning in. So in order to put an air conditioner, they needed to make a hole in the wall to stick the air conditioner in. So is that okay? So he says, that's okay according to everybody, according to the Taz, according to everybody, because that's not only for Toelis, that's for the Toelis of the shul itself. You know, in the Beis Yitzchak, he was asked, the Chufas Beis Yitzchak, about putting windows, new windows in the Beis HaKnesses, and he said, even according to the Taz, that's mutter. The Taz only didn't like making a hole in the shul and not fixing that hole in order to make a shtender, which is for a separate mitzvah, for davening, but it doesn't really fix the Beis HaKnesses. The windows themselves fix the Beis HaKnesses, they make the Beis HaKnesses better, and that's why the Mishnah Yosef says the same is true with an air conditioner. The air conditioner actually makes the Beis HaKnesses better. Okay, says the Gemara Vayti now. We said that the Makom Kibbutz is in the Azara, that's where you have to do the Kibbutz. How could you do the Kibbutz in the Azara? Don't you need the Shiva Samanim, Dam Rav Nachman, Dam Rav Arvua, Dam Chatos, and Marus and the Goyim? If you have Dam Chatos on a Beged, or a Neged Saras that requires Kibbutz, Tzrich and Shiva Samanim, you need to use all the seven detergents. Vitanya, and the Braisa tells us, El Shein Machnisim Mei Raglayim Mamikdash, and we know the end of the phrase, Mipnei HaKavod, you're not allowed to bring Mei Raglayim into the Mikdash, so how in the world do you do the Shiva Samanim? Vichitem at the Mivlulu, who Bahadi Shiva Samanim, Umaavlulu Kulu Kechad, maybe you'll tell me, no, you're not going to bring pure meraglayim into the azara. You're going to mix it with the other six sammanim, and you have this mixture, and it's batul berov. And then you bring it in. Vatran, havirin shalok sidron, shavir shavasun keachad, loasav loklum. Doesn't work that way. You can't do it out of order, and you can't do it all at one time. So the meraglayim has to be put on as a separate ingredient. Vechitema demivlulu hubadi chad misammanim. Maybe you'll say, no, you'll mix the meraglayim together with one of the other sammanim and bring it into the Azara that way, but Sarach Lechaske Sholosh Pam Bekol Echad Liechad. You need to do three rubbings of the garment with each of the Samanim independently. That's what the Mishnah says. Ela Demivlulu Barok Tafel. Now, what they would do is they would mix the Meraglayim together with Rok Tafel. Why is that okay? I thought Rok Tafel is one of the Samanim. It's the first of the Samanim. No, because Damarish Lakish, Rok Tafel Tzorach Shei Im Kalech Ve'echad. Although you're not allowed to mix any of the other Samanim, Rok Tafel is the base detergent. So that gets mixed with each of the other Samanim, including the Meir Aglaim, according to Reish Lakish, and that's how the Kibbutz is done. So according to Reish Lakish, we understand very well how this was done. What exactly is Rok Tafel? So Rok Tafel is saliva when a person first wakes up in the morning and has not yet spoken, nor brushed his teeth, nor eaten anything. So it's like this very pungent kind of saliva. And that is one of the sammanim. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Echad shebishel bo ve'echad she'ira l'tocha roteach. Which kinds of kelim are going to require mariko shtifa, whether it's a kli that you cooked the meat of a carbon in, or whether it's a kli that you poured a boiling tafshil into from another kli, it's going to require mariko shtifa, because even irui from one kli to the other is able to be nivla, the tam of that machel is going to be nivla into the kli that you're pouring it into. So that's why it's going to need mariko shtifa. And echad kachi kachim, ve echad kachim kalim, regardless of whether it was a chatos or a nashim, which is kachim kachim, or a tolda or shlavim, which is kachim kalim, that you cooked in the kli, tu'un in mariko shtifa. That kli is going to require mariko shtifa. Shimon Omer, kachim kalim into the mariko shtifa. And kachim kalim do not have this requirement of mariko shtifa. So even though he holds that there's no din of mariko shtifa by kachim kalim, he doesn't deny that there's a din of hagalas kalim. It's just that there's a separate din of mariko shtifa and hagala. There is different halachos. So if it's just the mariko shtifa, you would, for example, would have to be done dafka b'mayim, not b'yayim. Hagala could technically be done with any other liquid also. It doesn't have to be done b'mayim. So there are certain criteria to fulfill mariko shtifa that aren't good enough for hagala. Okay, so now the Gemara explains, how do I know that even a kli that you poured something into, even iroi, and this is a huge issue in halacha, obviously, in halacha Shabbos, in Hilchos Kashrus. Do bleos transfer with Irui, right? And can bishul happen with Irui? You pour out of the urn onto the tea bag, right? So we assume that's no good. Why is that no good? Because Irui, we assume, is mevashel a kedei klipa. We tend to be machmir that even a klisheni is no good, even though klisheni cannot be mevashel, because we assume the Gemara tells us that a klisheni, there are certain things that are called kalei bishul that are very easily cooked, that a klisheni is able to cook. So we assume that a klisheni is able to cook. We're choshish that everything's kalei bishul. So we assume that a klisheni is able to cook, kalei bishul is able to cook a tea bag. Machlokas, whether when we say that a klisheni can be mevashel kalei bishul, machlokas achronim, Moshe and Mishnah Brura, can a klishlishi also be mevashel kalei bishul? Do you assume klisheni is ainu mevashel? So then it doesn't matter. Meaning once you're out of kli rishon, so klisheni, shlishi, revi, they're all the same. That is the sheet of the Mishnah Brura. Or do you say no? Like Rav Moshe says that klisheni can be mevashel kalei bishul. Kli shlishi can't even be mevashel kalei bishul, so you can make tea in a kli shlishi. Right? Those are the three shitas about making tea. The Mishnah Brura holds you have to have tea essence prepared from before, because there's no way you could put a tea bag with hot water at all on Shabbos. Rav Moshe holds kli shlishi, because kli shlishi cannot even be mevashel kalei bishul. Rav Salvechik said in the name of his grandfather that he thought that tea is not kalei bishul, that it's definitively not kalei bishul. Binyan Tzion says, what are you talking about? Look what happens. You put it in, and then the whole, you know, it works, right? So, but he thought he had a mesorah from his grandfather. I asked Rav Shapton once which grandfather he had a mesorah from, you know, because he had two grandfathers, Rav Chaim Salvechik and Rav Elie Prajner. He said both. That both of his grandfathers held that Rav Elie Feinstein and Rav Chaim Salvechik would both make tea in a klisheni. I asked Rav Shachter if he's somech on it, if he's somech on that, would he make tea in a klisheni? He says, only when I'm thirsty for tea. Okay, so I guess that's a yes. All right, so Tan Rabbanan, Asher Tevushal Bo, Pasuk says, about the kelim that cook the chatos, Asher Tevushal Bo, that's what you have to break. So Eimli El Shabishal Bo, Iro L'tocha Roteach Minayin, how do I know that even with Iro, it's going to be enough of a blia to require the Shvira, Tavolomer, Asher Bo Yishaver, that anything that was in it, you know, as long as it had in it the chatos, so that's going to be enough, that it's going to require breaking it. So now the Gemara raises the following suffix. Let's say you take the spit that has the Kamar Chatos on it and you dangle it in the airspace of the oven, so in a way that the walls of the oven are not boleya the tam of the Chatos at all. So mahu, do you have to break that kli or not? Do you have to break that oven or not? Abishul ubilua hudukabid rachmana? Odilma abishul below bilua. What are we being makbid about? Are we being makbid about when you cook in it and there are blios? Or even if you cook in it but there are no blios? So Rabbi Tashma will bring you right. He says, Echad shabishavo v'echad shirul tocho roteach. We said that even if you do irui, so that's a case where there's a blia, but there's no bishul in it. So bilua below bishul lo kam yivaylan. It says, oh yeah, but that was our shayla. Ki kam yivaylan bishul below bilua mai. Our shayla was if you do bishul without a blia, not if you have a blia without bishul. So it answered a question, but it answered the wrong question. So Tashma says, I'm going to bring you another raya. Dam rab nach nam rab baravua. The tanur of the Beis HaMikdash was made out of metal, and the reason they didn't make it out of cheres was because then it would require breaking after you take the spits that have the carbon chatas and you stick it in the oven. But if being cooked in it without any blios, you don't have to worry about navet shel cheres. Why don't they just make it out of cheres? Because you're not going to have to be machsherit, because you'll cook within that oven, but there aren't going to be blios because you're going to put it on the spit. So from the fact that they would dafka avoid making tanurim out of cheres, it's a raya that if you're mevashel in that kli, even though it's not boleya anything, the Torah still requires shvira. That seems to be a raya. So the Gemara explains. The Gemara answers now. Kivan diikah shiari menachos taf yasim betanur viko bishul ubilua avdin shal mateches. No, because they would also make the shiari menachos, that whatever's left over from the menachos after they took the kamitza, that was baked in the oven. And that that was fed to the Kohanim. When they would bake that in the oven, the shemen of the mincha was nisbashel and nivla into the tanur. So there were actual blios. So that's not a raya about bishul below belia, because the reason they were makbet to have metal ovens was because there always is bishul with belia. Some of the achronim asked the question, why couldn't the Gemara say that they didn't make the tanur melcheres? Because one of the things that the Kohanim are allowed to do with the korbanos is they could eat it however they like to eat it. They didn't have to roast it always on a spit. They could have done a bishul, in which case the whole thing becomes belua also. So without the menachos, without coming onto the menachos, even with the chatos itself, that they could eat it shaluk and mavushal, and through that bishul it's going to be belua. So the Nimuke Chaim explains, based on the Tosos, that when there's no nafkamina to the Kohanim, the default position would be to eat it tzli and not mavushal. So the rov tashmish of the kli was to eat it, was to use it tzli. The rule in kashrin and kelim is you go basa rov tashmisha. So even if sometimes it's used, which is counterintuitive, you think whatever the worst tashmish was, right, the most impactful, but the rule is you go basa rov tashmisho of the kli, right? That's the discussion about how to kasher a countertop. Is it good enough to kasher a countertop with iroi? Because most of the time, so if there's a blia on the countertop, it's because something spilled out of something. You don't put, you know, solid hot food directly down on the counter. But once in a while it happens. Once in a while, something might be put down there. Yeah, but rov tashmisho. So do you need the even milubenis in order to kasher a countertop? Okay, so that's part of that discussion. Ha'utanura, there was a maisa that happened with a certain oven, da'adchube tichaya, that they put a fleshiga, a fat on the oven, and then they baked bread in that oven. And the bread had tam of this flesh. So asur Rabba Bar Yilei l'michla l'rifta. Rabba Bar Yilei did not allow eating that bread li'olam. Even if before they baked the bread, they fired up the oven. Va'afilu b'milcha, and even to eat the bread with parv ingredients, not with milch ingredients. Why? Dil masi l'michla b'kutcha. He was afraid that you're going to come to spread cream cheese on the bread or something like that. And that therefore he asked. It's asking for meisvei. But wait, ein lashon se'isa b'chalav. We know that. Is you're not allowed to make a milchig bread, right? That's a beferish gemara that you can't make a milchig bread. Although there are exceptions, the gemara says that if you make it ke'ein tura, it's okay. What does ke'ein tura mean? Two deos, whether a small portion or a funny shape, we paskin either one is good enough, right? That's the famous heter of Thomas's English muffins. Why Thomas's English muffins were milchig bread that were certified by the OU for years and years and years. So the heter that was told to us was that there are small portions and they're a muffin, they're not a regular bread. So they have both a terem of kein tura, plus Rabbi Gnak told me that it's pachlus mishishim, really. The milk is really pachlus mishishim. But they always put a D on it if there are any dairy ingredients anyway, even if it's batel mishishim. That's the rule. That's why those creamers that they have all say, the non-dairy creamers, right, or whatever, they all say OUD. Right, because the even though the dairy is sometimes butthole in it, it happens to be the dairy is usually, I did a little more research, dairy is usually not butthole in that. It's usually about 2% milk or milk products in those things. But both Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Schechter, the postman of the OU, Rabbi Belsky's Zichron of Rachin, Yibadul Chaim Tov, Rabbi Schechter, paskind that when you put it into your coffee, it becomes butthole way more than shishim, right? Because you know, if it's 1/50th of the actual coffee, so they both held that you're allowed to use it in a coffee after a fleshig meal, because it's not called bittul is lechachili. You're not being mevatel and iser, you're being mevatel milk and parv. Right? And that's not called bittul iser. Well, one can make an argument within the first hour it's still called that you're eating it together, so maybe you wait an hour. It's a big kula for coffee drinkers. Okay. The fear of being fleshig very often comes from that, but they both held, both of the great poskim of the OU held that way. So says Gemara, meisve ein lash nasi isa b'chalavim lash kalapas kula asura. And if you do make a milk bread, the whole bread is asur. Mipre hergel aveiro, because you're going to come to eat it with meat. Kayotzi, though, ain't Tashnas Satana Ba'alya. You're not supposed to smear the oven with a fatty tail of an animal with flesh. Vim Tashan, if you do that, Kala Paskula Asura, all the bread is going to be Asur. Ad Sheyasike Satanur, until you kasher out the oven. But apparently, kashering out the oven works against Rabbi Bar Eli, who says it's going to be Asur forever and there's no kashering. So Tiyufta, Rabbi Bar Eli, Tiyufta, it's a double Tiyufta, Rabbi Bar Eli. Amrli Rabbi Ravashi, Gechemiachad, Yitosav Rabbi Bar Eli, Amai Omer Rav, Kederos Bapesach Yishaveru. Once we have this Tiyufta, Rabbi Bar Eli, why is it that when you have pots that you cooked chametz all year in on Pesach, that Rav says you have to break them because there's no way to fix it, there's no way to kasher it? Why can't you kasher it? You're able to kasher the oven that's made out of cheres. Why can't you kasher the pots made out of cheres? Amalei Rav Moki Lolahi Bishal Mateches. That Rav said, no. When we said that you can kasher the oven, it was only a metal oven. A cheres oven you can't kasher. The kederos that you can't kasher on Pesach are cheres. The e by yaseimo, or even if you want to say that the Brice is talking about betanor shel cheres, zeh haseko mibifnim, zeh haseko mibachutz. By the oven, they would light the fire from the inside of the oven, and by the kli, they would have to light the fire on the outside and dip it in this fire, which is not able to be machshavit. The only way to be machshavit is to have the fire come within. Says Moshe, I have an idea. Why can't you kasher all your chametz kelim, even if they're kli cheres, by making the fire on the inside? Now, chayes alayu demitavri. We're afraid that you're not going to do it properly because you're going to be afraid to break it. And that ultimately, anything that there's a fear of breaking, we're afraid you're not going to kasher properly. It's a gzeira that it can't be kashered. Hilka chay kuvya. So therefore, if you have a kli that's made out of like a tile where they would have fry things or on the tile, hesiko mibachutzu va'asir. It's always considered to be the hesik mibachutz. The way to heat it up is by lighting the fire on the outside, and therefore it's asin. There's no way to be machshir such a tile. Okay, we'll stop there, and we'll pick up Sadi Bav tomorrow.